One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts, and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room listening to this podcast, wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
More lies, more lies, more lies, more lies. A bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to episode 138 of the Rigbiz Podcast. And as sport really sweeps across the nation, I'm joined by one of the greatest semi-professional sportsmen to ever touch the planet, Mr. Archie Curzon. Archie, how are you doing, sir?
I am very well, Freddie Chode. How are you, mate?
Freddie Chode, that's good.
Yeah, it's a bit of banter.
Yeah, a bit of prep school banter,
thought
isn't it?
Thought I'd start the podcast with a bit of banter. Yeah. Have you had that before?
I haven't heard that since prep school when I was about nine.
Old Choders.
Yeah, nine. Started boarding at Cot Hill.
Literally just popped into my head.
Yeah, it's really good.
I can't believe I've never thought of that before.
No. You're full of banter today already, aren't you?
I am.
You're on fire.
I'm in good spirits. I'm in good spirit.
Well, you are.
I'm well, mate. And you know, when I'm well, things are good.
Well, Archie, last time I saw you wasn't actually in Clapham, luckily, over the weekend. I saw you Thursday evening heading up a lift in Bank, City of London, to go do a Triple H, Triple B, Triple C, I think it was.
You saw me in true work mode, very focused. Yeah, I was going to speak to a wealth management company.
You were.
Something I do on quite regularly, I'll go and speak to businesses in the city and hopefully inspire them, and they can use my knowledge to hopefully go and have a crack in Q3. And that's what they brought me into, really, do is go and inspire the troops, the sales team, to go out there, get more meetings, get on the phone, and make more money. And it was a success, mate. I absolutely love it. I love wealth management. It's one of my favorite sectors.
What is wealth management for those who don't know?
It's quite complicated, but they look after wealthy individuals' money.
Right.
And actually, a lot of the guys there try to tap me up to say, you know, can we look after your cash? Yeah. And I actually said to him, no, I would love to consider you, but that's actually my hobby. Yeah. You know, when I'm not gymming, when I'm not playing rugby, when I'm not delivering chanter or banter on the common or in the city, or I'm not doing CrossFit, when I'm just relaxing, I love to invest.
Okay.
You know, I find it very cathartic. I get the broadsheets out. I spot little trends in the market and I just pump my money in there. And it's a brilliant thing because I love talking to people about my investments.
Yeah.
Especially the successful ones. Not so much the unsuccessful ones, but ones. I just love talking about money and numbers. I just love putting it out there and really telling people how successful I am. Because, you know, yes, you can tell someone's successful by the watch they wear.
Yeah.
Or the suit they're wearing.
Yes.
Or the house they live in. Or the car they drive.
Yeah.
Or the memberships they have to various clubs.
Yes.
But, you know, they can see that. But telling them how wealthy you are and how much money you're investing is another thing to show someone how successful and how happy you are.
Is that your tip of the week?
Yes, that is my tip of the week. Can I have the jingle, please?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's that time of the week again. It is time for Archie Curzon's tip of the week. Thank you very much.
When you're with friends or associates, don't forget to tell people about your cheeky little investments. And don't be afraid to throw the number out there about how much you're investing. It's just great fun and great banter. You're welcome. Love and champagne.
Well, Archie, I must say another thing which has been incredibly impressive this week, apart from your investments and your AAA, BBB, CCC, which I must say was actually impressive. I thought you were kind of bullshitting over the years about doing that. But then suddenly 200 people in front of you.
Yeah.
It was actually quite...
Didn't even need a PowerPoint.
No, I know. It was quite impressive. But you could have done with the quotes from that other guy.
Yeah,
that was quite,
there was a guy before me who had terrible banter. Yeah. And he was talking about quotes. I mean, the quotes are like paragraphs. I can't even remember that guy's name. That's how bad he was.
Well, talking about good things though this week, obviously the Ashes is on and it's been incredibly impressive. Have you been enjoying the cricket?
I've absolutely loved the Ashes. I'm really inspired. And I'm all for Bazball. That's the way I live my life, Cloners. Whether that's on the rugby field or in the city or even on a night out, you know, that's how you should approach life. Just bloody go for it.
Hard and fast.
I mean, people always knock me for going into photos early doors and just lunging girls.
But it's a bit creepy.
For me, that's Bazball for you. That's just going for it. You know, I'm not playing the long game. I'm not waiting for everyone to have a few drinks. I'm sober.
You want the end result now.
You're hot. I'm in great shape. Let's go for it. Oh, you got a boyfriend. No worries. Next one. I was so inspired by the Ashes Cloners that on Saturday afternoon, I got a couple of boys from the Buns and Guns WhatsApp group on the common, and we had a little mini test in the middle of the common. You know, everyone around us, we had a little common. We had some stumps and we had four aside. We were going to go skins versus t-shirts, but it was beautiful weather. So we're all topless, but we played Chino shorts against rugger shorts. And it was cracking. We really got into it. I mean, we're eight guys who are all in great shape, all got something about us, and we all don't mind the attention. And we were just shouting, you know, who cares if people are on the common? If a ball hit a leg, huzzah! Like, we're all going for it. Or we were just saying, like, oh, Simsy, give him a bouncer. But it's like, we're not even on a wicket. It's just a tennis ball.
Yeah.
And we were all just laughing. And if someone caught something, they'd be like, oh, yes! And you could see, like, the whole common were just looking at us. And it gave me an idea of what Stokes and the boys feel when they're out at Preston, because I think doing the math, there are about the same number of people. There are the same number of people on the common as they were at Edgbaston.
In the stadium.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we had one Karen come up and be like, do you need to keep shouting like the whole time?
Yeah, I'm trying to relax.
And I was like, yeah, it's called banter. She said, there's not even an umpire. And I said, yeah, we've all got imaginations, thanks. We're just having a good time. Do you mind?
Yeah.
I think she muttered something, but I think it was actually like a mutter of like, oh, actually, yeah, he's got quite a good point.
Yeah.
And it was a great time. And I know like people might think, we look like absolute dickheads. But we're not. I know I'm not a dickhead. Like, I actually know I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that's quite clear to me.
Okay.
I'm not a dickhead.
Right.
I like expressing myself on the cricket field. It was an exhausting test, actually. The four aside went on for about 2 hours, and then we just went to the pub and just had some chilled glasses of some Spring Angel. And I actually just chatted to the guys about my investments, which they absolutely loved. So, cracking Saturday. Choders, I've got some exciting news.
Cool.
We've got a brand new partner. Hit the trumpets, baby. No, this is elite partnership.
Well, tell me who it is.
No. Hit some trumpets.
You want
more
trumpets?
Let's make me feel royal.
Was that good enough?
Yeah, that was beaut, mate. That was absolutely
beaut. Well, go tell me. I'm excited.
So very exciting. We have a new partner on the podcast, Bond the Agency, an elite dating agency.
Yes.
They've been making headlines across London the last couple of months.
Yeah.
It is an elite dating agency. I've got a few mates who have used it. You know, we've had a number of partnerships that, you know, are for everyone. But
yes,
this isn't just for everyone. This is for the elite of the elite.
Creme de la creme.
Yeah, this is for high net worth individuals. So if you're a 18-year-old little boy at school and you're having to borrow a tenner to go out of the lash from your parents, close your ears, little boy. This is for the big boys. This is so money. When you're successful, you don't need to do anything. You've got a cleaner, you should have a chef,
nanny,
a driver, a nanny.
Yep.
And this is really the next thing. They are professional matchmakers. So if you are a high net worth chassis in the city, female or male, they will go and find you the perfect date. And I'm telling you now, I've had a couple of mates use it, and one of my mates has gone absolute worldy. They're going pretty strong, but if they do break up, I'm definitely getting in there.
Yeah, man, don't blame me.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. She's clever. She's in good shape.
She's from good stock.
Similar background. Yeah. It's got all the same interests as well. It has worked out unbelievable.
So these guys are geniuses.
I'm very excited. Bond, the agency, are now a partner of the RigBiz podcast because our demographic, you know, the thousands and thousands of listeners.
Creme de la creme, middle
there's
class.
We're basically hooking up a couple of people who listen to this, and you are already welcome.
Well, we are delighted to be partnering with London's new elite matchmaking service, Bond, the agency. As Archie was just saying, exclusive, innovative agency who not only promise to find you a partner, but deliver so much more. Mixing parties at the most exclusive venues in London, Ned, etc. Ultra personalized packages includes everything from pre-date outfit checks, stylists, photo shoots, fitness coaches, cosmetics. Dentist, which I know has helped you, Archie, along the way.
Yeah. I was a 9.5. Now in my teeth, I'm 11.
Yeah, you're 11 out of 10. To scheduling sessions with life coaches to build one's confidence, or they could use your AAA, BBBC, like the wealth managers. Whatever you need, it's all there for you. So if you have app fatigue and you're sick and tired of failures and Rare, Hinge, and the like, and you want to finally meet Mrs. Wright, then please click on the link in the podcast notes and leave your details. And if your bonus package is as strong as you claim it to be and you're serious about finding love, then they will be in touch with you shortly to change your life once and for all. They've already helped hundreds of successful like-minded individuals, some of your friends as well, Archie, to find love in London with 5-star reviews aplenty. So now's the time to move on with your life and uncover the magic of Bond.
Woo! Trumpets, please, to finish it off.
Well, Archie, I know you claim to have changed the fortunes of the England team because after we had Stokes and Broad on, Stokes became England captain, changed the philosophy. Broad's now the most important player in this Ashes series. Yeah. Pope has become vice-captain and Ben Duckett gets recalled to the England team. I mean, it's thanks to you that England are doing so bloody well.
I feel like I had some instigation in Basball because I think they saw how I approached life. Like, yes. I don't think before I speak. I just go for it. And I think they've adopted that for cricket, test cricket. And it has inspired the nation. And so, yeah, boys, you're welcome. I'm extraordinarily proud of the England team, regardless of result, really. I don't really mind.
As long
as you go out there and go for it.
Yeah.
And I've actually used that in some of my talks when I'm talking to these companies in the city. I said, listen, guys, just go for it. What's the worst that can happen? You get sacked and you might not find a job. But you can't live like that. You can't worry about that.
You'll always have your mum and dad's money to live off as well.
Yeah.
Well, one man who we're hoping to change the fortunes of is ex-Wales captains Ellis Jenkins, who's our guest on the podcast today. Loads of caps for the Wales, but sadly had that shocking injury 2 years ago from Eben Etzebeth and since then struggled to get back in. But with the recent retirements, we're hoping a bit of magic from you, a bit of inspiration, and we can
just
get him back
sprinkle
in.
Sprinkle some gold dust and after the interview probably pick up the phone to Gats and say, listen, get him in, mate. He's ready for you.
Well, should we get him on?
Let me just pack down with the scrum and get ready for some seriously good banter.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are now delighted to be joined by a once Welsh captain, a Welsh legend, and a Cardiff boy through and through in Ellis Jenkins. Ellis, thank you so much for coming on the pod. Quick one actually to Archie though. I know you're joining us straight from the city centre in Cardiff. Archie, you went to Bristol UE University. Wouldn't have been too far away from Cardiff. Any good nights in Cardiff you remember when you were there?
Yeah. Walkabout is a place I've taken down many a times. I've lunged a lot of cheekers in that place and I've also been to the casino in Cardiff.
Really?
I had one magical night there. I think when Bath played somebody a long time ago.
And probably Cardiff.
Yeah, I ended up in Cardiff with some quite unique characters. I think Gavin Henson was there. It's no Clapham, but I guess if there was a Clapham of Wales, it probably would be, Cardiff. There's a lot of guys who come down from the valleys who are, to be fair to them, steroids or not, they're in good shape and I respect their tan. I can't understand a word they're saying and to be honest, a lot of them look at me like they're going to kill me. That's why I hang out in the VIP area.
Seems
in Oceania. I think there's is there an Oceania there or there used to be?
There used to be, yeah.
Yeah, I hanged out.
That's where all the 17-year-olds go.
Yeah, that's why I hang out. That's my kind of age, that's my age range. So I was hanging out in the VIP area just with various quite big rugby stars.
Ellis, have you ever been to Clapham? Obviously, we're going to touch on your wife who lived in London and worked in London for a while, but have you ever been to Clapham for a night out?
I have. I've been there a couple of times, actually. Yeah. Ended up in, was it number 30? 32.
What a place.
You usually end up in infernos then afterwards.
Yeah.
I thought I saw you there once, actually. Actually, it was some bloke in the middle of the dance floor. He was top off just doing burpees and
That was me. That was
me. Yeah, I thought it might have been before before I knew you. So
that was me. That was before. Obviously, that was when I didn't have the teeth. But that's usually my party trick, and actually still is my party trick with my CrossFit team. If we go out for beers, I'm always the guy to get in the middle and just do burpees, and they absolutely love it. They're like, oh, what is he like? And then what I'll do is I'll mimic a kettlebell. But I won't have one with me, and they absolutely love it. Yeah, goes down quite well. Not just with the CrossFit guys, with the rugby guys as well. And sometimes on a work night out, I'll cut loose and just let the team know I've still got the banter, and I'll do it.
You're not even arguably the most famous person in your family, although you are a Welsh captain and a Welsh legend, because obviously your wife Sophie Evans, West End star, Wizard of Oz, Wicked, youngest ever lady to be the main part in Wicked.
You've done your research. That, or you've
always done my research.
It's a bit creepy.
Is it creepy?
Yeah. Why are you following his wife?
I'm not. Well, she's very famous. That's why. Right, okay. But she's obviously been on various TV shows as well. Now she was living in London for a lot of her life, her professional life. You were up in Cardiff, up to no good. How did you keep that going? How did you keep a beautiful, young, successful lady interested when you were on the sidelines complaining about your ACL?
It was tough. It was tough. We got together when we were 18. She lived in London for years and years. And then we had a sort of 18-month sabbatical in the middle where the distance became too much for us.
Yeah. But I love a sabbatical. You can do what you like.
You've always been on
a couple of guys in my office done sabbaticals, and they go for it.
Yeah, we had a gap year in the middle, and then fate brought us back together. So
How did you come back together?
How did you meet? Are you both?
We actually met in Oceania.
In VIP as 17-year-olds.
It was. She was in VIP. I wasn't in VIP at that time.
You were probably there as well that day.
I was waving from outside.
Well, talking about teenage lovers, Archie, do you have any teenage lovers that you're still in contact with?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Ellis would have heard this. Like, Ellis was probably very good at rugby at school. I was, and that naturally leads you to being quite a Lothario. You know, girls naturally, Ellis will tell you, girls flock to rugby guys. Just we've got the muscles. We've got the presence.
So which is the girl though?
No, I mean, there were so many. There was Lottie Delamain, Buffy Barry, Annabelle Ritchie, Annabelle Bishton, Emma Lomax, Kate Windsor, Kate Secker. I mean, there were so many. I'll be honest with you, that was my upper six. That's where I really came into my own. I haven't been that. I mean, only snogging, but I snogged a lot. And mainly in a game called Spin the Bottle.
On the beach.
And I was
in
very good at Spin the Bottle.
Down and Rock,
yeah. And I was the top of, now I'm top of the business world, but back then I was top of the snogging world. Yeah. They told me I had a good snogging technique.
Is Spin the Bottle still a valid game?
You start like that, and then you sit you bite the lip, and then you in their mouth. You get them open their mouth and in there, and they loved it.
You still do that now?
They loved it. In Infernos, if I get the chance, but I'm more of a bump and grind guy now in Infernos. I've matured. My technique isn't just go for the snog. I like to move behind them. I like let them feel my body first, and then I just whisper sweet nothings. I say, "Hey chica, I want to come back to mine. I've got a whole roast chicken in the fridge. Come back. I've got ample amount of Tupperware. What do you want? Cottage cheese? Do you want some mackerel? Whatever you want, I've got it." And then, that's it.
Well, Ellis, in your sabbatical, did you play any Spin the Bottle, or had that game sort of long died its death?
Yeah, that game had long gone by then. I think it's more of a young person's game. I think
Did you ever go on? Isn't there something in Wales? Didn't like Foxy and his brother have like a special tour that is to take people on?
No, I didn't. That's mostly the Scarlet Boys. That is
right. Okay,
it's a bit different than West.
Yeah. That looked pretty loose.
Well, talking loose,
yeah, it looked good. To be fair, I never had the invite on one of them, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Talking loose, you got married last year. How loose was the staggy?
We ended up in Infernos.
What a place. Yeah.
We're getting married in Ibiza in next year, but we had like a ceremony in Cardiff. So the boys, I thought it was, boys sold it to me as we're going for like a boozy brunch in Bristol and back in the same night. And then I got on the train and it was about 20 of the lads, and they dressed me up as a tight lycra turtleneck and a gold chain and some pleated trousers I had to wear for the day, which was fun. Oh, we went to the ship and then Infernos.
Yeah,
classic combo.
I'm disappointed I wasn't invited, because I would have led you into battle. I would have probably got you, Q jump, everything.
We can get after this conversation. You know, maybe on the next stag do.
What day are you getting married in Ibiza?
The 25th of July.
Write that down. And I just what's the dress code?
Smart, normal smart, summer wedding.
Smart, casual. I've got a suit for it. Okay. Yeah. Just
it's not white.
Book me a flight for the 24th. And yep. Book me a flight for the 26th.
As long as you don't upstage the bride, you're fine.
Is there a day after? You're doing something the day after?
Yeah, and maybe before as well.
And before,
see what we can score
there. No, 23rd to the 27th.
Okay.
Book me out, first class EasyJet. Okay. actually, get yourself a ticket. I'll need someone to carry my bags.
Ellis, let's talk some rugby, because when you joined Cardiff in 2011, there were still some huge legends knocking around the place. Who was the most terrifying senior player when you joined that team? I mean, coming into an amazing environment there of absolute Welsh legends.
Gethin Jenkins was terrifying, I suppose, at that age. But there was some great guys here. Paul Tito was a club legend.
What about Navidi? Apparently, he is the dodgiest wheeler dealer in the world. The guy's got like 30 companies, 28 are illegal, 2 have failed. Just give an insight into him.
Yeah, that sounds about right. He's always been a pretty shrewd businessman, Josh. And obviously now he's announced his retirement. He's gone into the second-hand car salesman full
Terry
time.
Tibbs.
Harry Wormwood is his inspiration, I think, from Matilda. So yeah,
I actually saw Josh at Twickenham once.
Did you?
Yeah, after a few beers.
Speak to him.
I did.
No, that's good.
I did. He might be from the Valleys because he looked like he wanted to beat me up. I tried to explain to him who I was. I at first I mistaked him for a guy who, you know, had been on his gap year. I sort of said, mate, I think you're lost. I think there's no drugs here, mate. And where's your guitar and your flip flops?
Yeah.
He didn't take kindly to that banter. Told me he was an international rugby player. And I said, no, I'm joking. I'm an international businessman. I get it. I was just making a joke. But yeah, no, good. This is interesting guy.
Here you go.
Interesting guy. Commercial
break. Ladies and gentlemen, but mostly gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We're about to switch on the Manscaped discount button, which will give you all 20% off all Manscaped products, plus free shipping. So please, get rid of the bush this summer and treat yourself, your partners, and any future endeavors you hope to have in this wonderful life of ours. There's only one way, the Manscaped way. Get rid of that bush and unlock a whole heap of opportunities.
When you joined Cardiff, was there initiation you had to undertake or not?
No, not really. I suppose you do a song after your first game and sort of boat race in the middle with all the other academy boys. It was like a boat race and winner gets to leave and then everyone else has to keep going until there's a loser, basically.
That's pretty good, actually. Write that down.
Yeah. Oh, that's quite good to introduce to.
Yeah, pretty tame, to be honest. People always ask about initiations, but I think it's probably the initiations in amateur rugby or semi-pro rugby, I'd say, were probably a lot more
semi-pro.
If you go into the heartland of Wales, like, you know, you go into mid-Wales where, you know, they sort of play rugby, you know, old clubs, there'll be some pretty dark initiations, I'd imagine.
Yeah, well, I remember youth rugby, I think it's a sort of rite of passage for everyone going through youth rugby. They get away game, you get dropped off a mile from the clubhouse, strip naked and have to run home.
I love that. I actually do that regularly because it makes you run quicker because, you know, you want to get home.
Yeah, the adrenaline's going. Well, through the main road to the clubhouse where we were, as a police station, so there's like 30 of us naked running past the police station. So the first couple are fine and they sort of look out the window and think, what's going on? And they come out and then the front row are 200 yards behind.
That is a horrible sight to behold, isn't it?
To be fair, when I do it here in Clapham, like, mainly because when I'm trying to get my, you know, my timings right, when I'm doing like interval training, I do it naked because it makes you quicker. So, you know, I'll do the first lap fully clothed. The second lap, I'll take my top off. Third lap, I just take my shorts off. I've got budgies.
Just briefs on,
and then the last lap, do naked. And like, police come out there, but they're not there to arrest me because they know who I am. They're there just to, it's actually, cheer, I think,
on.
They're quite impressed.
But
like, seeing a body like mine, naked, running, is quite incredible.
Well, Ellis, after years of waiting, you do eventually get called up to play for Wales to make your debut, and it's against the mighty All Blacks of all people in New Zealand. How was that experience?
Yeah, it was amazing. Like, I wasn't in the squad initially. I was on the piss. I'd been in Marbella. They were all in like a training camp for the summer tour, and I was in Marbella with the boys. I landed on like the Sunday morning and had a phone call Sunday afternoon saying that Dan Leader got injured and I was flying to New Zealand the next day. So that was fun. But I got the best of both worlds. I had an extra week off, hauled it to Marbella while everyone else is doing a training camp, and still managed to, you know, play in all three tests.
Well, you were training under the wonderful Sean Edwards. Kenny Logan told us how insane he was. What was he like? How mental was he?
Yeah, a legend. Top bloke, Sean Edwards. I ended up flying back from New Zealand, ended up we're in Emirates, obviously, in business class. Oh. You know all about that. There's a bar at the back, sat next to it. The seatbelt signs come on and it's like musical chairs because there's like 20 of you by the bar at the back. There's only six seatbelts. There's only six chairs. So like when the seatbelt signs come on, it's sort of the six of you rush to sit down and then everyone else has to go back to their seats for a couple of hours or, however long it is. So anyway, that's happened once. And I'm sort of strapped myself in, looked next to me, and Sean Edwards is sat there. So I ended up plugged in next to him just on the piss on the way home from New Zealand for about 6 hours, I reckon.
Was he great value?
Yeah, legend. He's like top bloke. He's obviously very, very well respected as a coach, brilliant coach, like makes everyone shit scared of him. And what makes you want to play for him, but he's like, got a bit of a soft side as well. I know that on that tour, Lloyd, we were doing a defensive drill and Lloyd Williams got tackled by Toby Faletau and sort of rolled his ankle and ended up having to fly home, have an operation on his ankle. And Sean wrote Lloyd never cashed it, but Sean wrote Lloyd a check for his match fee because that he'd missed out on because he hadn't played and gave it to him because he thought it was his fault. Yeah. He'd ring me I was injured for like 2 years. He'd ring me every 6 weeks. I'd be lying in bed. It'd be like 8 o'clock in the morning. And he'd be like, Sean Edwards. I mean, what the fuck's he ringing me for now? And it'd be like an 8 second conversation. He'd be like, all right, lad. I'd be like, all right, Sean, how's it going? Like, how's the knee? And I'd be like, yeah, it's all right. He's like, hey, keep going, lad. You'll be all right. Well,
That actually makes you think that he'd be very good at business because that's kind of what I do. You know, I make a note every 6 weeks. I touch base with every key client.
Just check in.
Yeah, check in. I mean, that is my dream.
What's
to
the
be...
quickest deal you've ever done? Because that was a 6 second phone call and he got all the work done.
Probably when I made my daughter. little Johnny Jono has got a bend on. Okay. That was about 4 seconds. And that was quick. I timed it because I set my setting on my Apple Watch to... I remember I put it to strength training and when I clocked off, it was 4 seconds. I burnt about 10 calories. So pretty impressive. But that's my dream, to be on a flight with loads of rugby players and just be strapped in six hours straight. Just like me, Ellis, Benders, Haas.
No escaping.
Pino?
Not Pino. Pino can get it. He's getting it done. Next time he's not having his mates as the judges of the boxing, I'm going to take him down. I could have stepped on the gas in round two. I know he listens to this. I could have stepped on the gas in round two and blown him out of there, and I held back.
Well, lots of people are asking, are you going to trigger the pre-match clause?
Yes, it's coming.
You are.
We're going. You're triggering it. Yeah,
are you announcing that now?
I'm triggering it. Yeah, Sky Sports, get ready. We're going for it.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, let's get back to Ellis quickly, because Ellis, 2 years from your debut, you were a mainstay in that Welsh team. You'd impressed massively on that tour, and of course, you made the bet row yours. You even became captain on that tour in 2018 to America, I believe it was. Now, come on. We've heard from the Churchill Cup lads from England over the years. US apparently is the greatest place to tour. The girls are great fun. The guys are great fun. Just tell us about that tour. How much fun was it off the piss?
Yeah, it was amazing. We went to Washington first. Playing in South Africa in Washington. And it's very like a sort of university city. So everyone's out, drinking, and the sport in America is different. Like you go to a sports bar and they've got like, 18 different screens with all different games on it and stuff. But we didn't stay. It would have been great if we'd had the whole tour there, which we didn't stay there for very long. We went to Argentina.
Which is apparently also amazing.
Yeah, we played Argentina twice, which was great. We won all three games on the tour, but the language barrier in Argentina, it's like the word, like nothing I've ever experienced before. It's no one speaks English. Where the games were quite dangerous places. So we ended up like one of the hotels. We weren't allowed to leave the hotel, but there was a casino downstairs. So the boy just ended up, spending money. I think we watched the whole season of Love Island in about a week as well while we're in the team room.
Well, just before that summer tour, you'd helped Cardiff to European glory when you beat Gloucester and Bilbao. Now, What amazing planning from the European Rugby Board to put a final in Bilbao. That must have been amazing. You win a European trophy, you're out on the piss in Bilbao. What happened?
Yeah, well, we all had tickets for the... because I think Leinster were playing Racing Metro in the Heineken Cup final day after. So we all had tickets for that. And then we went to an Irish bar. So obviously, then after the game, we were all sort of in the piss, in the hot tub and stuff, you know, to work, you know, recovering and getting lashed at the same
naked
time.
I hope so.
And we went back to the hotel. It was like a function. Then the next morning, I remember going out for breakfast, Nick Williams just puts like a Bloody Mary in front of me. And if Nick Williams tells you to drink a Bloody Mary, then...
Yeah, you do.
Bloody Mary, you drink.
Me and Nick are very similar in that way.
Yeah.
You watch it. Because if I put a drink, you'll drink it.
Okay.
Yeah, so we thought, oh, you know, we'll go for a couple of beers. Well, yeah, we basically rocked up in an Irish bar, Molly Malone's in Bilbao. Started again on the piss. We had like our own, I don't even think it was a cordoned off area, but it was like all the players, all the staff, all the fans. We kept drinking all the way through the day, missed the Heineken Cup final with Leinster and Metro. I think it was like 9-6 or 6-3 or something like that.
Oh, thank God you missed it.
Thing, so.
Well, Ellis, later that season, disaster struck in the last match against South Africa in that autumn series. You were victim to one of the most horrific injuries we've seen in the modern day. Can you just take us through who was to blame for ruining your career for the next 2 years and possibly any international hopes now?
I've gone for a jackal. Andre Pollard has tried to clean me out. Obviously hasn't. But he sort of rolled sideways onto my knee, and then Eben Etzebeth has come in and smoked me from the other side, and I've just sort of bent sideways over him. It was like slow motion. I could sort of feel, I could hear all the, you know, the damage going on in my knee. I just remember lying there thinking, like, fuck, I've done my ACL, you know. I didn't know at the time how bad it was, but I knew I'd done my ACL. And I was so lying there. I think we literally, it was like 10, 15 seconds to go. So they've gone wide. George North got the turnover. The physio's run on. And as he's come on, he's like, you know, we need to get you on your back. So I've rolled and I could feel my knee. Like, no, it wasn't quite right. So as he's rolled me onto my back, he's sort of doing this and he's gone, tunk, and like, clip my knees sort of click back into place, which is like, oh, like massive relief. And then the final whistle's gone. So I was like, there's a photo of it. And as I'm rolling, you can see I'm like screaming, and Elliot D in the background is like punching the air for victory, which is, yeah, he texts me afterwards. He's like, oh, mate, I'm really sorry about this. I didn't realize you were injured. I was like, oh, don't worry, it was fine. But yeah, so everyone in the stadium was celebrating. We'd won all four internationals, autumn internationals, the first time in 15 years or something. Well, I'm not sure exactly, but and I was still lying there screaming on the floor, waiting for the gaffer.
Well, obviously, that was then a 2-year recovery period. I mean, just incredible amount of rehab you had to do. It must have been quite a depressing time, I imagine.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. Luckily, I was surrounded by very good people, which kept
probably when you started listening to.
You should have really messaged me, Ellis, and I could have sent you some motivational tapes. Obviously, I've done them for multiple teams, but I've never done it for an individual. But you know, if you ever, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, touch wood, you don't ever, you know, sustain another injury. But if you do, just reach out, and for a small fee, I will send you a motivational, about 2-hour long motivational tape every week. Just different things to work on in the mind that will prepare you for when you get back on the pitch, or you know, whether you're in the boardroom.
Yeah, I enjoyed your videos when doing it. Anytime I was struggling and not sure what to do, I just remembered what you said and just crack on.
What if that's the thing? That is where, you know, people just think I'm a man that helps, you know, school kids on Instagram, but no, international rugby players.
You're welcome.
Not just Ellis, but you know, you Jamie Georges. Yeah. I'm really molding the modern day rugby player. And you know, people say, oh, you can't have banter in this day and age. not true.
Right, yeah.
Not true. I'm delivering it in England, Wales, Scotland,
huge reach,
Ireland.
Huge reach.
Think of some of the biggest rugby players. Name the biggest rugby player in Ireland.
Brian O'Driscoll.
Name another one.
Ronan O'Gara.
No, name another one.
Johnny Sexton.
Yes.
Johnny Sexton.
Yeah. Finn Russell. Yes.
In Scotland.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Ellis, Gatland's now in charge. Have you had any dialogue with him this year? I mean, initially not in the World Cup squad, but I still believe. Archie still believes.
I believe. Things happen on this podcast. Ollie Lawrence comes on, becomes Premiership Rugby Player of the Year.
True.
Maybe we should have done this a bit earlier in the season.
Yeah,
then.
We probably should have done.
Should have done.
But have you had a chat with Gat since he's come back?
No, I haven't spoken to him since he left. Well, pretty much since I got injured, to be honest.
It may not be a bad World Cup to miss, to be honest.
Well, yeah.
Does he have chat? Gonna ask those questions now. Josh Navidi. Does
he have chat? No chat.
Sam Warburton.
No chat.
Lee Halfpenny.
After a couple of drinks, yeah, good chat.
Gareth Anscombe?
Nah, no chat.
Reese Priestland?
Yeah, chat.
Alex Cuthbert?
Yeah, chat.
Jamie Roberts?
Oh, cheese ball. It depends on who, yeah. Some, like Marmite.
Reese Emmett,
yeah, chat.
Faletau?
Again, after a couple of drinks, very good.
Gareth Davis?
Nah, no chat.
And Reese Webb?
I'm spending a huge amount of time with Webby. I'm going to go with no chat.
Ellis, thank you so much. You've been absolutely wonderful.
Thank you so much. Good luck getting back into the Wales team. Good luck with your summer. Good luck with your wedding. And we'll see you soon.
Love and champagne. I'll see you in Ibiza.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, boys.
Well, no matter if he gets recalled or not, he's an absolute legend.
Strong banter from a guy that's Welsh.
Yeah, yeah.
Really
set a different
guy.
Precedent after Priestland, doesn't
he? Yeah, exactly. I mean, you sort of think every Welsh guy is going to be like Priestland or Hibbard. But no, Ellis Jenkins is a different gravy. LinkedIn loving. Tell you how much cash I made today.
LinkedIn loving. I'm off to the wall. So Archie, the fans have been asking for it week in, week out, and we've finally given in. It's time for a return to one of your favourite sections, LinkedIn loving.
I do love a section. I love LinkedIn, so it makes sense.
Well,
combines two of my favourite things.
It does. Well, obviously, this is all your connections on LinkedIn. You've got over 20,000.
Yeah.
And this is where we read out some of their statuses over the last couple of weeks. So we're going to start with Dave Harland, who works in tech.
I think I've come across Dave on the circuit, in the city.
Well, this is what he said a couple of days ago. In recent months, I've found that there aren't enough hours in the day to get everything done. So last week, I joined the 1:30 a.m. Rise Club.
I used to be a member of that club, yeah. Okay. Good club to be part of.
Well, he says I have
some really interesting individuals.
I have to say thanks for having me. I was in the 2 a.m. club for a while.
Yeah, I think that's where I met Dave.
That's where you met Dave.
That's where I met Dave, yeah.
But given my busy morning routine, I felt rushed if I didn't get to the gym before 3:30 a.m.
That makes sense.
So my wife says it's in the middle of the night and she's pretty angry at me, but it also means now I have to be asleep by 5:30 p.m. the previous evening. But so what? The only things I miss out on by going to bed at 5:30 p.m. are evening meditation.
Nah, that's for Labour supporters.
Five-a-side with the lads.
Kevball's overrated.
Dinner with my wife.
I don't have one, so I don't know.
Bedtime book with my son.
The nanny does, my daughter.
Phone calls with my dad.
Yeah, that's a big one. I would love to do that.
Visits to my sick granddad.
All my grandparents have died. That's how my dad made his money.
And the One Show.
Don't watch TV.
Can you believe I used to be a 6 a.m. guy?
No, I can't believe. I can't believe anyone's stupid enough to wake up at 6 a.m. 1:30 is so much better.
I was missing 4.5 hours of productivity.
Exactly.
Now by 6 a.m. every day, I have read half a book.
Yeah.
Done 45 minutes of yoga cycle.
Okay.
Attended the team's 11 a.m. meeting in Tokyo, even though I don't need to be on it.
Brilliant.
Done appraisals with a guy in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Had a Zoom breakfast with the Tokyo office their evening.
Yeah.
Engineered the shit out of some chatbot prompts.
Yep.
Prep family dinner, which I sadly won't get to enjoy.
Fair enough. You're in the 1:30 club, mate. That's the price you pay.
And recorded an episode of my podcast from witching hour to pitching.
This guy sounds like a top class bloke, but it does sound a little bit like he probably should just move to Tokyo and he'd have a happier life.
And then finally, Archie, we've got a certain Alexander Cohen who says on his LinkedIn he works at the same company.
Really good guy. Got a lot of time for him.
Does he work under you, or do you work for him?
Works under me, yeah. Directly under me. Reports into me.
Well, he said...
What's he saying on LinkedIn?
He said, I turned down a promotion this week.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he did.
My boss was shocked. Unable to comprehend why I'd reject a 30% raise after years of hard work and late nights. I explained that I feared making this much money would cause me to lose my drive and stop working as hard.
Yeah.
Did that happen?
I actually planted that seed, yeah.
Oh, you told him to turn down?
Yeah.
Okay. Something else. In a moment...
Well, I just thought he's the kind of character, he wasn't educated properly and he wouldn't know what to do with the money.
Okay, well, in a moment of enlightenment, my boss offered me a 20% salary reduction instead, which I proudly... What? You offered him a 20% salary reduction instead?
Yeah, I just felt like I kept keep him hungry.
I was overjoyed to help improve the company's P&L and maintain my relentless dedication to mediocrity.
Yeah, and funny enough, this week I've taken a 30% pay rise.
Right.
Because everyone's really happy with me. Well, he's not the only one. I've done it for a few people and actually keeps them hungry. Instead of giving pay rises, it's a little secret we have in our company. We dock their pay and say, if you work hard enough, you'd be back here in a couple of years.
Well, Archie Curzon, the summer is finally here. As soon as the test cricket arrives, you know it's summertime. You're loving life.
Yeah.
That was a wonderful podcast.
We're on top of the world.
We may have some exciting news coming up about the World Cup.
We have got a few announcements regarding the World Cup. Do not fear. The Rig Biz boys are here. Old AC and Choders are ready to take on the World Cup. And we can exclusively say one thing. We will be there for some period of the World Cup.
We
might be back again.
We may be back again. Yeah. One thing we are being asked about.
It's quite a good chat when you put your voice up there.
Is that a good chat?
Yeah, it's quite good.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I do that with some of the boys.
Right, okay. Yeah, I bet you do.
Practical
banter again isn't like Chandler's. Yeah. But another thing, actually, we should say is a lot of people are asking, lads, when are you going to do that free show in London? And we're saying, well, we're in talks.
We are in talks. I've been trying to get the ship to give us a date.
Yes.
That's the venue we want. But why not message in to the RigBiz account and let us know any good venues. One outside area where we can get loose.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of guests who are keen to come on.
We
want to do
go.
It for charity for the Ed Slater Foundation. So it is coming. Do not fear. We have got you, but we're just waiting for the right venue.
And we should say, just to finish off asking for interaction, can you please make sure that if you're a single man and you've given up all hope of being happy, you now have a chance to be happy thanks to Bond the Agency.
Yeah.
All you have to do is click on the link in the podcast notes,
put
your application in there, and you should be getting a phone call from somebody.
Can I just say, one of the conditions is, if you do find your future wife or husband, I have to come to the wedding and stag and Hendu. Hendu, one of the stipulations in the contract, I think. I think that'll get people actually to join. But yeah. Okay, Clodis, I'm off. It's my birthday weekend.
It is your birthday weekend.
Any weekend.
Ball. Did you manage to get that?
I managed to get a full ball at Hampton Court Palace on Saturday with one of the fans. Never met him, but I imagine he's a good lad.
He'll be playing with you.
Yeah, he'll be playing with me. Yeah. That's the kind of thing I do. I get people in.
Get a freebie, but then bring him along.
That's the thing I do. I bring people in from the cold, and 18 holes with me will probably improve his business acumen incredibly. He's basically getting a free AAA, BBB, CCC. But I'll be out and about. I'm planning a bit of a pub crawl through Clapham
Dangerous.
Saturday. So
watch out.
If you see me, after a few, come join in, because there's only about two people joining me.
Well, Archie, have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah.
And let's just remind our listeners one more time to like, share, subscribe, and comment. And let's keep growing this wonderful pod.
Love and champagne.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.